Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're grumpy and we're so old, we receive spam emails entitled, "Your prostate is the size of a lemon." You're very welcome to the Gorilla Knit Grumpy Old Men podcast.
Just once in a decade, in a lifetime maybe, the world of entertainment is disrupted and utterly elated by something entirely new.
Good Lord.
And now for something completely different.
It's Grubby here in the central missionary position, and with me I've got the bear in his garden alongside Beavis or Butthead. Hello, bear.
Hello there, Grubby. Hello, Fred.
Technical issues.
Not brilliantly. Not brilliantly to me. And in the blue corner, it's not Fred Titmus. Hello, Fred.
Hello.
So, well, it's been a week in cricket, and I didn't actually get to see much of the now legendary run chase happened on Saturday because I was at my mum's 70th birthday party, which has been mentioned a bit on the show.
You socially distanced.
Interest. Yeah, we were in a garden, mate. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
Yeah, before you send a distance to these round. But it was quite a pleasant surprise, thrilling climax to the game, wasn't it?
Well, I'd love to help you, but I think I saw about as much of it as you did, Grubby. So no, in fact, I didn't see any of it. I saw like the 5-minute highlights. But it looked like a good run chase from the 5-minute highlights.
Well, I saw the whole bloody thing. And it was quite fucking amazing.
To you then, Bert.
Well, it was. It was a crazy game. You don't want to say what?
I don't want to say I told you so, but Friday afternoon, when England were in the process of winning the game in the third innings, and I was listening, of course, to Gorilla Cricket for some reason, and none of the people on air seemed to notice that England were putting themselves into a position of winning the game. And they were just, you know, they were talking about selection for the second test, and England always lose the first test of a series. And you weren't actually noticing that Pakistan were collapsing at a rate of knots and were setting England. At the time, they were just about 200 ahead. And I felt moved to actually tweet into Gorilla Cricket. Not something I do very often. To say, hang on a sec, England can win this. And of course, I was poo-pooed. There was a large degree of poo-pooing going on. But let's be fair, I can have the last laugh.
Well, did you get any money down on that, Fred? Because
just a little.
Well done. Very good.
Ooh, you got good odds. Well, actually, I thought about that, and I looked at the odds on when I came in on Saturday morning, and England were only 5-4, and Pakistan were marginal favourites. And I thought, well, it wasn't that good. I mean, how many times you actually chased 270, and at 5-4, you wanted about 3-1 at least, and I'd have put money on it. But it was offering me 5-4. I was like, nah. Should have put money when the fifth wicket went down. And look, I watched it. I wasn't there when you were sending these tweets because I wasn't there on that day, funnily enough. But I will say that I was thinking the same thing. But, you know, obviously 270 isn't chased that much. And the balls that Ollie Pope and Stokesy got were virtually unplayable. I mean, the one that got Ollie Pope spat off a length, caught his glove, ballooned up in the air. Stokesy got another one from round the wicket by Yasir Shah. It pitched in the rough and it went virtually past his chin from a decent length. And you thought, oh, this is it, we're done. And Wokes hasn't scored any runs for donkeys, even though we all know he's a good bat. But I tell you what, Joss, the gimlet-eyed Joss, it was the perfect situation for Joss because he knew exactly what he had to do. Yeah, Yasir Shah bowling out of rough. They needed 170-odd runs. And you kind of thought, well, this is the perfect situation where he can just go out there, play his natural one-day game, do the sweeps out of the rough, the reverse sweeps, which is what he did to start with. They sort of clammed up a little bit at the end. But it was a quality chase, mate. It was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing about Joss there, he was playing, as you say, the sweeps, reverse sweeps, but sometimes to exactly the same ball. And I think that really flummoxed the spinners, particularly Shadab, who, let's face it, is not quite in the same league as Yasir Shah. But it really sort of threw him because I think when you see that coming at you and it's two completely different shots and then the third ball might have been bunted back over his head, you know, that really puts you on the back foot as a spinner in that situation.
Well, it was interesting because Yasir Shah was really defensive against Joss. So he was bowling around the wicket into the rough to Joss Butler, and as soon as Wokesy came back on start, he'd go back over the wicket trying to bowl in the rough outside his off stump. He was flummoxed by Joss Butler. He didn't know how to bolt him.
But in the end, it was such an easy chase that England could afford, for the laugh, to put Brodie in up the order to try and slog off the last few runs. I mean, that's almost taking the piss, isn't it?
Someone even tweeted in saying, should they put Brodie in next instead of Bess? And lo and behold, outstrode Brodie. So, yeah.
It was probably quite a good decision, really, because he was more likely to score those runs quick, that was doing a few bits and bobs, whereas Bess might have tried to play it more technically, classically true and got in a bit of trouble. So I think that was, a rare bit of good captaincy there. It wasn't universally praised for his captaincy route in that test match, was he? You know, you think about bowling six overs himself and then bringing Anderson and Archer into the attack when Broad and Wokes were clearly the kind of form bowlers. So he was getting quite a few brickbats, I think, from around the cricketing know-it-all-arati, shall we call them. But that, I thought, was actually a rare bit of... let's give him a little bit of praise there.
And it ushered
the victory in pretty quick.
The one boundary that Broad hit made it all worthwhile, you mean, before he got out to plumb LBW?
I reckon so, yeah, actually.
As it turned out, yeah.
As it happened. Yeah, yeah. An important four.
It was an important four. Well, this is it. If we'd lost Bess...
Paul Collingwood's crucial 10 in 2005, which took 90 minutes.
Got him an MBE? It's not
always the number of runs. It's the match situation. Well, this is all a bit serious and I'm all a bit crickety.
Well, it is. But I've got a question to ask to try and throw people off that scent. We've done enough serious analysis of an actual game of cricket. Since the game, Dom Sibley has been quoted as saying, "I'm greedier. I should have had 5 Test centuries by now." He was obviously greedier a few months ago when he was 2 stone heavier. Talking of which, I was likened today on a work ball. And this didn't please me 100%. It was someone who hasn't seen me for a few months, and I look a bit kind of hairier than I was a little while ago. And he knows I like cricket, this bloke. And he just private messaged me during the meeting saying, "You look like a young Mike Gatting."
Oh, my God.
So I wonder, a young Mike Gatting.
I wonder if either of you has been compared unfavourably to any cricketing legends.
David Gower,
obviously.
You're compared to David Gower, yeah?
Yeah, my cover drives. I mean, I'm right-handed, but, you know, the rest of it, the hair, the shirt open to the navel, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, David Gower.
Well, Tuffers.
What a disturbing thought. You've been compared to Tuffers, have you?
Well, that's exactly to say, because I bloody bowl left-handed. I don't look anything like Tuffers. I smoked like him, that's true, and I probably took large excess of other things that he probably takes too, but, you know. Other than that.
And you've both had a very successful career in broadcasting after your playing days.
So, well, absolutely. If only I was getting paid for it. If only I was getting paid.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I got you some good gigs over the years. Well, even if you didn't get paid for all that you should have done.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of hard work to get paid.
I'm going to let the listener on a little bit of a secret here. I haven't told Grubby I'm going to do this, but so basically, Messy Jez and the other listener that listens to this podcast. Grubby and I found ourselves on together in one of the days of the last test match. It was a bit ad hoc because Hendo dropped out and there was trouble with the Zoom. And we had a little game, actually, that we were playing just between ourselves. Grubby, do you want to expand on it a bit?
Well, you were doing such a good job for a bit, if you insist. The game is one of those schoolboyish little wheezes whereby you have to introduce words corresponding to a certain theme into an otherwise general chat, or in this case, piece of commentary, without getting rumbled. And that's the bit that I look at this game. So we decided we would introduce as many 80s songs into commentary as we could. Of course, Knackle rumbled me within about 4 seconds, and then people.
Well, you did start with China in your hand. I mean, that was not the best place to go.
I was just thinking Zig Sputnik myself, you know, SS20.
The sneaky one.
We did in a 40-minute stint. I think we each did about a dozen. We got about a dozen song titles in there. Some of them easier than others to shoehorn in.
Yes, but, you started off with Hello, which...
Hello!
was a pretty...
That's an easy one.
A pretty easy, slippery one to get in there, yeah.
Yeah,
whereas I was more ambitious.
Well, I did get some others. I got, you know, Too Many Broken Hearts and Stand and Deliver and... when the
Stand and Deliver was quite easy.
Well, it was Stuart Broad was batting, so you know, it wrote itself. Let's be honest.
So Broadie just needs to stand and deliver now. Yeah, right. That's a thought.
Well, I did say, you know, the way he plays is less stand and deliver, more run away and deliver. But I think,
yeah.
And I did listen back yesterday to sort of 10 minutes of that session just to see if I could spot any more. But one of the tweeters, I think it was it Chris the Choir?
Chris the Choir, said, I think.
Said, is Grubby trying to get song titles into his commentary? And at which point, that means I'd won the game because the first one to get rumbled is out. So unlucky, Grubbs. I'm now telling the world that you lost the game that we invented.
I wasn't particularly listening this time. So what was the most ambitious one you tried to get in there?
How did you get China in your hand in there?
I was saying it was just a very delicately balanced game. Almost like China in your hands. So, you know, it's a massive crowbar effort, basically. I'll just say, because I've forgotten that, yeah, China in your hands, Under Pressure, End of the World as We Know It. That was quite a lengthy one. Free Falling, Fight the Power, Blue Monday. That involved me stating something factually incorrect, because at that point, for some reason, the game was due to finish on the Monday. I said, if it keeps going like this, it might be a Blue Monday for England. Of course, it wasn't. It was scheduled to finish on a Sunday, so I should be disqualified for that alone.
Well, no, you still got a name in. You just made an error of judgment. I think that. As a totally impartial referee, I'd say that's fair enough. You just made a mistake, but you still got a name in there.
Well, I'm wondering whether "Fight the Power" is too, because there was the song "The Power," wasn't there? As in, I've got the power.
I think
although
you might
maybe
find
the 90s.
Yeah, 90s, just into the 90s. Yeah, it was "The Power" by Snap, which of course became "Feel the Power" Taylor's walk-on music. I wonder why.
Yeah,
he was so good. Wow. He was so good, actually. He had two pieces of walk-on music, Fanfare for the Common Man and The Power. Anyway.
It's just that...
Quite
you
a
know,
good game.
If people ever listen to me and Grubby, other Gorilla commentators might decide to take it up amongst themselves. But if we're ever on again and you think you spot something that Grubby has said, not me, Grubby, then make sure you tweet in and make sure that he's disqualified from the game.
Well,
don't
now,
just think to yourself,
now,
oh, I wonder if he's talking about, you know, types of fish. Then he's trying to shoehorn them into the conversation. Grubby pointed out that the England football team in about 1990 did similar things on post-match interviews. They were also trying to get songs in. And Gareth Southgate won that with, what was his effort, Grubby?
I think it might have been 96 if he was inside. No,
yeah.
I don't think he wasn't in 1990, was he? Yeah, he said, they say, oh, what's the mood like in the camp? And, you know, how are you managing being isolated? Because even though the world wasn't in a period of isolation at the time, you were still relatively you know, locked away. He's like, well, it's not exactly Club Tropicana around here. And this is one. But I only know that because I was looking at, I was watching an interview with him in which they showed that piece of footage. Anyway.
I seem to remember that was a documentary, wasn't it, about dodgy England sides or something?
That was 96. That was in England. Euro.
That was the Euros, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but they were still in their own camp, though, wasn't they?
I was at that semi-final, England-Germany. Can't remember what happened.
I was in a pub in Clapham North. My mate was going apoplectic at the end. I was just really pissed and, you know, c'est la vie, that sport.
I was in the apoplectic camp. It was in the days when I really cared about football. 1990 and 1996. And 96, just because it's happened again. Like in similar circumstances, it's happened again. I can't believe it. And being pissed didn't prevent me from feeling rather maudlin, I'm afraid.
I've missed 1990. I was in Australia on my year off in 1990. And I remember the semi-final going on and me saying, I'm going to watch it. But because we were down there and everything was the wrong time, I hadn't really followed the World Cup then anyway. And I think I watched about 5 minutes and fell asleep and then woke up right at the end of extra time to us losing. And because I hadn't really followed it and I wasn't really that involved in it, 96 was the first time it really hurt. But as I said, you know, I was quite pissed. And then there was the Ronaldinho in that quarter final when he stuck it over Seaman's head. That was a one.
That was a fluke. Still a fluke.
Whatever it was, fucking Seaman should have saved it. I was fucking upset after that. Haven't got up at 4 in the morning and got pissed by 6. Yeah.
So you were down under then. Another point for me, Grabby. I was with game. Oh no, we're not playing anymore. No, that's true. I was with a friend of mine there called Barry who was in the apoplectic camp. He was absolutely furious. He's a big England fan. He's more of an England fan than a club fan, which is rare amongst football fans. But at the time, he was obsessed with his television program, which I thought was rubbish. It's called Men Behaving Badly. It was a big thing at the time. And as we were walking out the ground, we ran into Neil Morrissey outside the ground. And all of a sudden, from being furious about the result of the England game, he said, look, it's him. And he was in a totally good mood after that. So it's amazing what can turn you around in these situations. So Neil Morrissey, you did my friend Barry a big favour.
Just imagine if someone saw us on the street and said that, and we had that effect as gorillas on other people.
Well, just by virtue of being Neil Morrissey, he blew away the troubles of your friend. It sounds like a terrible heckle. It sounds like a terrible heckle to them. Oh, look who it is. It's that fella off What's-His-Face, you know, thingy-me-jig. It reminds me of a heckle I once did to Angus Loughran, who was known as Stato, and he was on... Remember him? He was on with Skinner and Baddiel quite a lot.
Friend of Gorilla Cricket, I think you'll find. David Brooke had him on a few times.
Well, I never met him, apart from when I saw him once. I think I've been to Cheltenham Festival before I used to go, you know, regularly. It was like a work jolly thing. And as we were filing out, hundreds of us, I saw him. And obviously, drink had been taken. And I just went, Stato! A point at which the crowd collectively just went utterly silent. And he looked around at me. And at the time, he wrote for the Daily Telegraph. And the Daily Telegraph racing correspondent was called Tony Stafford. So he turned round and I went, where's Tony Stafford? The worst heckle you could ever think of.
Talking of heckling and comedians, our old friend has stepped up or down in the world, depending on how you look at it. A friend of Test Match Sofa and Gorilla Cricket, Artif Nawaz, will be making his debut on Test Match Special on Thursday. Another one flies the nest. What are we going to do about it?
Well, what can we do? Good luck to him, is what I say. Who's he on with? I don't even know who he's on with. I presume they'll be...
I don't know, but it's very lucky that Pakistan are playing because he does know about Pakistan, if nobody else, to be fair. So, you know, he's lucky that he's got that particular gig. So well done, Atif. If you ever listen to this podcast, we're all delighted for you.
They have a stats man there anyway. He'll be fine. They just feed them that shit.
Well, the stats man is Andy Zaltzman, another one.
That's true. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and Norcos was the first one to go over that side, tweeted and said, welcome to the team Tiffers, he said, as your nickname will surely be, which I felt I had to reply. I remember once when Atif was on Sofa, with it was alongside Miles Jupp at the time, and there was lots of chat going back and forth with Juppy, and I tried to instigate the nickname Tiffy, but he didn't really like it much, and I've just reminded him of it on Twitter, and he still doesn't like it, it seems.
Miles Jupp wrote a book about a bloke impersonating a cricketing journalist or broadcaster, and I read it. It was uncomfortably close to home. It was basically my 2020 or 2019, actually. I didn't find it funny at all. I only read it like 6 months ago.
Didn't you take inspiration from the book and then carry out your own little journey?
Yeah, but I didn't get the comedic side of it. I just thought it was all very...
you were just along for the ride, Fred.
Well, I found myself broadcasting, on radio in the West Indies on an England Test match. I was just wondering, how did I get here? In the words of that Talking Head song.
Well, but thanks to Dave. It was a funny book. Originally, I'd have said.
Yeah. Top man, David.
Yeah, absolutely, top man, David.
You see, you didn't find that book funny, Fred, in the same way that my grandfather, who ran a guest house in Torbay, didn't find Fawlty Towers funny.
Yes.
Well,
bloody guests getting in my way, getting on my feet. What? That's not funny, that bloody programme either, by the way. That tall fella.
Was he a Lancastrian?
He was, yeah.
Well spotted. Sounded like it.
Yeah, well, he was, so yes.
Amongst other things that happened this week, this may shock you, this may shock the pair of you, but I got into a bit of a spat on Twitter.
Really?
No.
Yeah. Tell me, who is?
With the National Cricketing Board.
Ooh, which one?
Iceland. Cricket Iceland.
Oh, we know who that is and why. Oh, please do tell.
Well, he's got a beer in his bonnet. The word wicket means a lot of things in cricket. You know, it means the stumps with the bails on top. You know, it also means when somebody is out, that's called a wicket. And let's be honest, it also means the bit between the stumps. You know, the bit that you play on comes down a wicket, etc.
But that's the bit, he's got the beer in the bonnet.
Mr. Iceland Cricket has got a beer in his bonnet. He says, no. If you look at the laws of the game, which is always a great start to a conversation, look at the laws of the game and you'll find it's called the pitch and not the wicket. And therefore, everyone who uses the word wicket to describe the bit between the stumps is wrong. Yep. And I said, well, maybe, but people have been calling that for about two centuries and I can prove it to you. And therefore, you're talking out of your Icelandic arse.
Did you put Icelandic in there, Fred?
No, I did say, oh, what a saga. But, you know, let's be fair, Iceland Cricket is in the market of drumming up a little bit of publicity for themselves. And, you know, a good argument is always a good way to do that on Twitter, let's be honest. You know, it's a bit like celebrities accidentally revealing their underwear when they step out of cars. You know, it's one of the great proven ways of getting publicity. But honestly,
I've heard that before,
wicket is the wicket.
That it isn't, that it's the pitch or the cut strip or whatever you want to call it.
Surely whatever you want to call it, that comes down to the wicket. Whatever I want to call it, if it's been called the wicket for two centuries, as Fred says, I'm going to go with Fred here. Then surely common parlance then brings it into common usage, which then becomes it.
Well, yeah, I did ask whether a sticky wicket meant that some bloke 180 years ago had smeared jam or honey over the stumps. Obviously not. It's referring to that bit that they play on and the ball bounces on. Obviously.
Yeah, but people also say lackadaisical, and that's not a word.
That's
I
could care less.
Well, not that I know the laws of grammar, as you know, but I would say lackadaisical is a word because it has... meaning.
Well, it's the same argument. The word is lackadaisical. So to say lackadaisical is an error. Yeah. Yeah. There's a word lax and a word lackadaisical.
Well, right, if the people had been using the word lackadaisical for 200 years, I think then it would become a word.
Well, morons might have. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But there we are.
Yeah. We'll always have morons.
That's the whole point of the dictionary, isn't it? I mean, this is why everyone has a fit every time the Daily Mail goes, this word become into the light, you know, into the common.
Or in this case, the laws of the game.
Well, exactly. Well I'm in agreement with Fred on this, you know.
The man behind Iceland Cricket happens to be a big supporter of Somerset County Cricket Club. And he did message me saying something along the lines of, you know, thinking that Butler should be in the next test team. And I said, Yeah, but he's still a lousy pitch keeper.
And how did that one go down? Yeah, I suppose, did you do what you always do, Fred, which is basically just keep batting away and annoying people more and more?
Well, we know the man behind Iceland cricket, and if anyone is capable of returning that in kind, it is.
Well, you do pick them, don't you, Fred? Let's be honest.
We happen to be good friends. So, as I say, you know, like the celebrities, not always a celebrity spat or a spat between minor cricketing nobodies. It's not always what it seems.
That's better.
How many followers and retweets?
Well, funny.
Yeah. Well, not enough, but as far as they're concerned. Yeah.
And funny enough, it was with that very individual that you and I had that lengthy discussion at about 4 a.m. one time on air about the wicket is down.
Oh, the wicket is down. Yes. Well, maybe in that conversation at the time, he also said, look at the laws of the game.
He did. That's where we got it from. That's where we got it from. And in fact, I happened to be lurking consuming this.
That's the cry of the pedant, I have to say. Look at the law.
Well, one person's pedant is another person's accurate, I suppose.
Yeah.
Robbie, what have you seen on Twitter this week? You're always good with these kind of things.
Well, I saw a really interesting argument about the word wicket between two minor nobodies on the sport. No, I was
a national body. They're a national cricketing body. They're not nobodies.
I thought you were talking about yourself. Sorry,
I was. Yeah,
but he used that very phrase because he ran a poll, a very pointed poll, to make the only point of which was to make the point about it being incorrect in his opinion and in mine actually. Where in his example about the wicket, one of the correct uses of the word wicket was the three stumps with the bales on top, as in, he said, the wicket is down. So he's obviously very drawn to that section of the laws, is all I would say.
It was a very rare poll where all of the answers were wrong. But wrong they were.
What? So what were the answers?
I
want to know now.
You have to check the way you worded it.
You know me. I don't actually look at Twitter. But
There were some negatives in there. It was all very complicated. But all the answers were wrong.
It was along the lines of, which of the following is an incorrect definition of the word wicket? One, the set of stumps with the bales on top, as in the wicket is down. Two, the cut strip between the two sets of stumps.
Uh-huh.
Three, when a batsman is out. Or four, all of the above.
I'm afraid you went with all of the above, yeah?
Well, no, all of the above are not wrong. Anyway, there was a negative in the question. It didn't make any sense.
Or none of the above, then. Yeah.
Now you're being the pedant, Fred.
There is a difference between
like whenever I put anything on WhatsApp and it comes back, did you mean this? Did you mean that? Fuck off.
Well, we do have a whole team of researchers trying to work out what you mean in your tweet, in your WhatsApp message.
That bloody auto spell on a goddamn fucking phone is getting worse.
To be honest, there is a big difference between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. for example.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
When am I done?
The next time you hear somebody saying he's come down the wicket, in Iceland that means he was perched on the bales and then has slid down the stumps to play
like a
shot.
Fireman.
Yeah. The chances are he'd be out hit wicket or hit pitch or something. I don't know.
He's danced down the cut strip.
Yeah, nah.
And by the way, I don't think you have done that 10 a.m. p.m. thing, but you know, stop being a pedant. I'm just talking about mistakes in general.
That would be frightening if I had done that. I mean, I have been a state a few times in my life, and I have got that wrong myself. But I would hate to think that I was sending somewhere at 10 a.m. or 10 p.m. when I was supposed to be there at the other one. I'd be sat there on my own going, "Where the fuck is everybody?"
Could you tell
a couple who were touring London, and they sent each other a message to meet at Edgware Road Station, and one of them went to Edgware Road Station, the other one went to Edgware Station, which were about 10 miles apart.
Oh, dear.
Oh no.
Easily and it took about an hour and a half to get between one and the other. But, you know, these things happen. Why would you give two stations a very similar name? It's a good point.
Well, the same is true of Leicester Square and Leicester. I mean, how often does that happen? Almost never.
Less so, yeah. Especially during the lockdown.
You never know.
Anyway, should we get back to some cricket then? I mean, you know, what do we expect? Well, obviously there are going to be changes from England in the second Test match. Stokes is definitely out. And Anderson, they don't seem to think can play back-to-back Test matches. So, what's going to happen?
That, well, the call was, I mean, everyone was saying on air, are they going to drop Anderson? I was like, you can't fucking drop Anderson just out
of
the blue.
Well, no, but
he's had one bad, come on. The guy's got history. He had one bad test. I've seen him have a bad test before and come back and do something. However,
I agree with you, Bear, but they don't think he can play consecutive games.
Well, that's what,
point of view.
Wow, do they really? I think that's an excuse. I think that's a way of resting him.
Anyone actually said that, by the way?
No, but that's what happened in the first series against West Indies with a similar amount of games, similar gap between the games. Do they know it's fitness?
Well, no, but to one degree, the problem is solved by Stokes going away because he hardly bowled a bean anyway, although he got two very important wickets. And they already have four bowlers in the side. So, and then Zach Crawley, there's space for Zach Crawley now, obviously, because Stokes has gone. So he comes back in. So then you've got a conundrum of the bowlers. Do they switch the bowlers up? If Jimmy was fit, I'd still bowl him. I think this whole idea that he's shot is ridiculous. He had a bad game. Fuck it. I've had a bad game. Everyone's had a bad fucking game. Jimmy has a lot of good games and not that many bad games. And I'm sure he'd be chomping at the bit to come back.
I think Ed Smith has seen you bowl and we'll take that into account.
Bess, I'm sorry. Bess ain't no fucking international spinner. I was getting quite irate on air on something.
On Saturday night, I said the only change I would make, I think they're gonna rest Anderson. I was going to say, folks, for Anderson, the only change, because I was expecting then Stokes to be able to bowl at least 10 overs in an innings, you know, be the fifth bowler. And the only change I would make is then, okay, Butler's batting well, leave him in there, bring in Folks, and you've still got five bowlers because, they had six bowlers with Stokes in the last game. And bring in somebody who can catch the ball, you know. I don't agree with you at all about Bess. I do admit he's got a problem bowling the bad balls. He bowls too many bad balls.
Well,
but he bowls a lot of good balls as well, and he beats a lot of players.
Yeah, but the problem...
And he was unlucky that three or four chances that he engendered were not taken.
Well, that's the chat that they weren't taken is unlucky. You know, you expect it, and it's happened to him before. And this is a problem with keeping. That's true. But he's too, for me, he's way too flat. A spinner has to be consistent. You're trying to build pressure. If the guy's not coming after you, you shouldn't be getting hit. I mean, that we went back to Root's captaincy, and that period when they came out, six overs before the new ball, they came out after the break. Pakistan had scored 40-odd runs for three wickets or something. Or hadn't lost a wicket, I can't remember exactly what the situation was. They might have lost three wickets and scored 40-odd runs in a session. They came out after lunch, six overs to go to the new ball. They put fucking Root put himself on with Bess, both bowling around the wicket and bowling completely the wrong fucking line, and gave away what was a tight situation, gave away about 30 runs in six overs.
Yeah, but I'm not necessarily blaming that on Bess.
Running. What?
Bess
was half the problem. I mean, Root put himself on. That's a big problem. But I mean, the fact is that Bess, I mean, why? That hit, this is the thing, right? They've called no runs before lunch. They were in a bit of a sticky situation. They shouldn't have had the opportunity to get away after lunch, and therefore Bess should not have been bowling around the wicket. There was not that much rough to play with, and he'd have been better. They weren't going to try and hit him. If he'd have bowled outside that line of off stump into whatever rough there was, it wasn't turning, it was turning. If he'd have bowled a decent line, a decent length, they wouldn't have tried to run down the wicket for immediately after lunch and smack him over his head would be
pitch,
my bet.
Pitch.
Wicket. I'm calling it the fucking wicket. And they'd have scored six or seven runs. You'd have the new ball and the new bowlers. The batsman still would have been a bit tentative and you'd have had a better chance to take wicket. It was just fucking poor captaincy and poor bowling.
So I think he was the victim in this game of poor captaincy and also poor wicket keeping, which made him look a lot less valuable than he was, because he was getting people to edge the ball and he was getting people to miss the ball, for chances of stumping. Against the batsman who was in form as well.
Yeah, but Leach, they've got a majority right-handed batting attack. Leach, why wouldn't Leach do that too?
I think Leach is unlucky to be not to be in the side. I think they went with Bess because he did pretty well in South Africa, didn't he, before lockdown. And I think he's a redoubtable cricketer at Bess. I think he's got a lot going for him. He's probably on balance over the last 6 or 8 months. He's probably in the side ahead of Leach, largely because of his batting, if we're perfectly honest. I think
6 or 8 months, we've had about three games in that.
You know, over the course of that sort of playing time.
Yeah.
So I'm a big admirer of his. I think he can do more as a spinner. I think he can you know, a bit more flight and guile and all that sort of stuff that we often speak about with spinners. And I think Leach has got more of that and probably a greater level of control as a spinner. But I don't quite buy into this. He's not international class, Don Best. I think he could easily have a very, you know, long, varied international career ahead of him. Yes, he's got things to learn, but he's still only 23 or thereabouts, isn't he? He'll improve as a spinner, you should, you'd imagine. He was a bit unlucky in the last Test match and perhaps bowling to a plan that wasn't of his own creation. But there we are. I'm not going to make all those excuses for him because if Leach came into the side, I wouldn't be massively upset. But yeah, I think Best still has a lot to offer, particularly when we go abroad.
So what are you thinking of the rest of the team then, with Stokes missing, Robbie?
I suppose the obvious thing would be to draft Crawley back in. I read somewhere that if he scores 22 runs in his next two innings, that'll take his overall first class average below 30. So make of that what you will. That said, I think he was a little unfortunate to be jettisoned from the team. I thought he batted pretty well this summer in patches. He made that decent 70, I seem to recall, against West Indies, for example. And actually, halfway through the previous Test match that we've just seen, that decision to go with the extra bowler because Stokes wasn't able to bowl certainly in the first half of the match did seem to have backfired. We did seem to be a batsman light. So I wouldn't mind at all seeing him back. And I do think that Folks has to get his opportunity behind the sticks sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Whether that means you retain Joss as a batsman or not.
I think that's wasting a place in a side then.
I have to say, you know, the parallel is no way accurate, but you remember Ashton Agar's debut for Australia when he was drafted in and played one of the most extraordinary innings at number 11.
Should have been fucking stumped on three or whatever it was then.
He should have. But when it came to the next Test, he didn't bowl all that well. He didn't look like he was any problem. The fact that he'd scored 90-odd runs was pretty much irrelevant because they picked him to be a bowler. And it's quite nice to have somebody at number 11 scoring those runs. But they were quite quick to jettison him, and correctly so, even though he'd made, you know, important runs in their cause. So I'm not saying the comparison is exactly accurate with Butler, because there is a possibility, a likelihood even, that Butler would be in a chance of a place as a batsman alone. But I'm hoping people do not forget that he's not a Test wicketkeeper.
No, he isn't. But you've got to say he's secure now for these next two Tests, isn't he? He's just fucking won a Test match, pretty much.
Well, secure as a batsman, why does that mean his keeping's got any better?
Well, because otherwise it's a waste of a place. I don't know if I'd have him in as purely as a batsman. You know, if you're going to bang in a seventh
batsman.
He's
had two good innings in the last game, and he's going to be playing the same attack again. There's nobody obvious that's going to come in.
But then without Stokes, you're really, you know, you're limiting your options then when you're bowling. You know.
Well, the Butler goes up one and Folks comes in at...
what do I want? Butler, well, I suppose he's at six now, isn't he? I'd rather have the extra bowler, to be honest.
You can't, well...
I'd rather
in the last game.
Well, I think he keeps his place, you know. I'm kind of loathe to have Butler and a keeper in the side. It's much like having Bairstow and Butler in the side. That kind of annoyed me.
That's two non-keepers.
Well, exactly. It was two non-keepers. One who was the keeper before, who was worse.
Three,
than
if you call Ollie Pope.
Ollie Pope, well, yeah.
We could have a whole team of non-keepers.
We probably since bloody
you
could.
Since you mentioned Ashton Agar there, Fred, one thing I really enjoyed about watching him bowl was the miniature strongman thing that he did before his delivery stride. But both arms up, like an old-fashioned circus strongman before into his delivery stride. And I was watching Moeen Ali bowl years later, on air, with some of you lot probably, and I just went, who is it? He reminds me of, and someone eventually got it. It was Ashton Agar. So maybe Moeen Ali took some inspiration from Ashton. And there's someone we haven't even talked about, if we're talking about spinners, you know, Moeen Ali, can he come back in?
To be fair, I'd rather have him over Bess.
He can't actually come in.
Well, he can't come in because he's not
in the bubble situation.
But he had a shocker in those ODIs, man. Absolute howler. He scored what, two runs in three innings or whatever? or maybe three. Yeah. You know,
his batting does go seem to have deeper troughs than other people in similar situations. But he's not an option because of the whole bubble thing. So at least now there are games going up and down the country. So theoretically, other people could be brought in and would have played some games and played some form. But I'm not going to move this into a county cricket.
Well, they've brought in, what's his name, haven't they? Beardy, right arm bowler, who's supposed to be like Anderson. No, I can't remember
Ollie,
the name of.
Ollie Robinson.
No, Ollie Robinson. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't mind seeing him. I mean, we are, you know, Ambassador, you're spoiling us with your fast bowling options. And we've got tons of
them. They're not going to drop Wokes, are they? And they're not going to drop Broad.
No.
So Archer may be vulnerable and Anderson may be vulnerable.
Well, I think Archer is vulnerable. I touched on this on air. I think that we expect so much of him. And he has been stunning in white ball cricket.
He's been pretty good in Test cricket, isn't he?
He's been all right in Test cricket, but he's not, you know, he gives runs away, he bowls the wrong lines at times. And the one thing I do want him in the side. Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. I'm not saying that because of that. But I'm saying his place would be one of the ones that was vulnerable if you looked at him. You look at how Wood's done. I mean, Wood looked pretty innocuous against the West Indies, even though he's bowling at 95 miles an hour. And they seem to have, I mean, he's not had another go since.
Didn't have a chance at Old Trafford, did he? I think they got the selection wrong right at the start of the summer.
They went
out pace at the Aegeus Bowl, and then they reverted to tight, if you like, up at Old Trafford, where you think might have been more helpful.
When a Jofra was saying it wasn't particularly helpful, it was, you know, he said the wicket was not that quick the other day. And this is the thing in England. I think Jofra's got a lot more to ask. This is the other thing I think about Jofra. I think that everyone's kind of got this into his head that he bowls at 9 miles an hour and therefore we should bowl short. The enforcer role that Broad got stuck into. And actually, there might be a lot more skill. And the thing about him is he does seem quite an intelligent cricketer. And having him in the side with Broad and Anderson for another year or two, and he can learn some shit off of those guys because they'll pass everything on with a bit of that. And you've already got Wokes. Not the virus, hopefully.
There is a name we've forgotten.
Sam Curran.
Little Sammy Curran.
Well,
he's been in the squad.
8 tests and 8 victories in England, and he can't get a game at the minute.
Yeah, it is an embarrassment of riches. I think there's a little bit too much said about the feelings of players and, you know, whether they think they're owed and whether they should stay in from one game to the next because of what they've done. I think it's legitimate for selectors to say we have to pick the best people for this game on this day on this wicket, on this pitch, and we're not worrying about the feelings of the people, and we're not saying to anybody you're guaranteed a place because that's your job. You know, if you're I don't know, if you're a second spinner who's had a terrific game and then you go and play on a pitch which is not going to take any spin at all, nobody's going to say, well, he had a great game last week, therefore we've got to pick him. So the same should be true with batsmen, the same should be true with bowlers and wicketkeepers, with everybody. I think you sit down with a blank slate at the start of a test match and say, who are the best 11 players to win this game?
If Broadie thinks, or
Jimmy thinks that look at my record and look what I did last week, I don't care about that. I want to know who's going to win us, who's going to give us the best chance of winning this game today or tomorrow.
And I think if you go right back to the infamous now dropping of Broad at the start of the summer and all the things that he said, I think possibly, and you may disagree with the selection, but I think you can probably make a good case that the group of selectors are now doing what you're saying there, Fred. It's picking a side to win the next game.
And they're getting pushback from the players who are saying, I'm owed my place. You know, I've done enough to keep my place.
Yeah, we're also remembering...
I don't think that exists.
Part of this problem is because you've got a much bigger group of players as well. You know, your squad is that much bigger because of COVID. So you've got more players around just in case. So there's more sort of possibility, which is an interesting thing. Why not, you know, if you took this bigger squad abroad, maybe you'd have a chance of winning an away test match in Australia, you know. But no one wants to take a squad this big and, with, you know, presumably everyone's got an ego and they want to be playing.
Not when there are second and third spin coaches to be taken on tours like that.
No, and you know, going back
to... And a wicket-keeping coach.
Well, yeah, well, you've got to think...
What's he doing? Players?
You've got to think... I mean, the other thing, I was just occurred to me, is the whole angle with England had been under the Bayliss era, that Moeen was a spinner, but essentially he was a bat. He was also a batsman. And so that's unbalanced the side, and they kind of think they've still got to have a spinner in the side, and maybe actually on some of these wickets, you know... Root could have chucked in a few useful overs, and you don't need that spinner in the side altogether. I mean, there's plenty of times in England we've not gone in with a spinner. We've had Moeen in there most of the time.
In a dry summer like we've had with no rain, I think you can't go in without a spinner. And I don't think Root is in any way, shape, or form a frontline spinner. I think he's probably not. He's a fill-in.
But then, you know, but he's a filler. But then Best didn't bowl a single over in that last game against West Indies. I mean, his game consisted of him batting.
And England blew away West Indies with seam bowling. The fact that they didn't happen to need it during the game, you know, was good for England.
And talking to Sam Curran as well, with him in the side, and I think Best has spoken about this, saying that I like it when he's in the side because he creates that bit of rough outside the right-handers off stump as well. So, you know,
well, he'll create the same rough for the Pakistan spinners as well.
Possibly.
But he's an offie and the other two are leggies. It's not so useful for them. It's true.
That's true.
I mean, they've got Shaheen Afridi, so he creates rough for Best too, you know. Get the opposition out. Make sure Shaheen bowls a lot of overs so I can get some rough outside.
Keep playing maidens off him so they keep him on. Yeah, exactly. But don't get out of him. Yeah. Well, this has been a very rare grumpy gorilla serious cricket chat. I mean, I don't know whether it's the absence of Knuckles' hyper-serious podcast that have caused us to fill the gap, as you might say. But we have done some serious cricket chat as well as some less serious.
Some nonsense.
Chat, fair to say. But shall we wrap it up, gents?
I think we should.
Gorilla Cricket, of course, will be back on Thursday morning with a reasonably good lineup on Thursday, a much better lineup on Friday. And we'll be doing every game of this summer.
I'm not in on Friday. Fuck off.
And a terrific one on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean,
are you in Grubby for a change?
I'm popping in for a bit on Saturday, yeah.
Nice.
There's a bit of an advanced roster information for you groupies to sit down and work out when you can listen and when you can't. It's been fun talking to you guys as ever. Have we missed Hendo? I don't think we have we?
Not really. He's probably moaning about something anyway in his house.
He can't get his computer to work. It's a Toshiba. They don't even sell laptops anymore. So,
Toshibas are shit. I bought a TV. I bought a Toshiba off Amazon. I turned it on and it buzzed like a motherfucker. And I wasn't very happy. And I sent it back 2 days later.
It's Buzzed Like a Motherfucker, a song that was in the charts.
1980s.
Just got in. Yeah. And on that note, we shall say goodbye. We'll be around on Thursday and after that. So long, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
So that was the innings of Brendan McCullum. Scores lots of fours because he don't like to run them. And here we are waving Brendan McCullum goodbye. Whoa, 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 whoa,
Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.